Welcome to the Listen to This podcast. This is Cliff and Sharon. Every week we share some of the most ridiculous, some of the funny, some of the emotional stories we covered on our radio show.
And so right now, here's five of the stories we covered. We hope you enjoy them.
Ladies and gentlemen!
1 minute to showtime.
Whoa!
Listen to this.
Ordered for quality assurance.
Listen
to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
Sir, you are no gentleman.
And you, miss, are no lady.
Five.
Okay, imagine for a second you're Taylor Swift. Just let that simmer for a second. Okay, so what are you thinking about? You're Taylor Swift. What are you thinking about? Your next tour, your next album, your next song.
Where am I going to put my the next shelf for all my trophies and awards and things, right?
Yes. But no. What you're thinking about is learning how to do CPR and change a tire. That's what you're doing if you're Taylor Swift.
I love Taylor Swift because she is so accomplished. But she just did an interview with Vogue and she said, I need to learn some other skills that are going to help me be a more rounded person. And she says, I'd like to know how to make a good cocktail, change a tire, and learn CPR. He said, you know, people tell you little tips on chest compressions and all that. She said, but that's different from actually taking a class and getting certified. So she wants to do that. And you know, we were talking off the air about, I would like her to learn how to make a decent cup of tea so that when I go visit, I mean, I always take the muffins and or the cookies. And she's a big baker, so I always make sure when I go to Taylor's place, I never take anything store-bought. Mm-hmm. I always make sure it's something that I've made from scratch, but she can't make a decent cup of tea. Americans, honestly.
How do you make the perfect cup of tea?
Well, and this is, look, I'm not even talking about, like, the purest ways with loose tea and a teapot, but I'm just even talking about tea bags, like black tea. So here's what a lot of people who aren't tea drinkers do. They get the boiling water and they pour that in the cup, and then they go and ferret around in the cupboard and look for a tea bag, and then they put the tea bag in the water and it just kind of floats on top. No. First of all, the tea bag's got to go in first, boiling water on it, and then don't just pull it out after 30 seconds because the water's changed. You've got to let it steep for 3 to 5 minutes. And then I like mine with a splash of milk. Now, Taylor knows I like it with milk, but she never puts the tea bag in first, and she never lets the jolly thing steep long enough.
So she doesn't make a good cup of tea, and that's the skill set that Taylor's going to need for the next time you guys share crumpets and tea together.
Yes, for crying out loud, Taylor, get it together.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
All these stories are true. Even the names haven't been changed.
Hey, what's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you while you were getting romantic?
Oh, are you asking me or is that a hypothetical question?
Well, see, if I ask you any question, I know you'll answer it. So you can choose to answer it if you want to. I know we have some stories to tell.
God. I had my younger sister walk in on me once. Right? I had that.
Did she see everything?
She didn't see everything. She kind of like, whoa, I backed right out of the room.
Okay.
I farted. Everybody has, I think, at some point, because, it's, you know, depending on what you're doing, it puts pressure on also, you know, so I don't think that's that uncommon, but it's embarrassing in the moment, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, you're not alone. Like, I think 3 out of 4 people have all had something embarrassing. I think anybody that's at that point in a relationship is going to have something go south on at some point. We're not perfectionists when it comes to this, and it's there's a lot to do and a lot to think about, and there's a lot of pressure, frankly.
That's what I'm saying. A lot of pressure sometimes, and that's why a little bit of squeaks out.
Oh my God.
The top 5 embarrassing things for men are falling asleep in the middle of it, truly.
Oh, God. You know what? I've done that.
Have you?
I did. Yeah. I did. And I think not with my wife, by the way. It was years ago. We were at Disneyland. I think there was alcohol involved. Oh my God. Yeah, that happened to me.
Oh my God. Is that the most embarrassing thing, or what's the most embarrassing thing that's ever happened to you?
No, it wasn't the most embarrassing thing. I'm not sure I can tell you the most embarrassing thing. Okay.
You can. It's just us.
So it's just us. So when my wife and I first got together, okay, and I think all men pretend or want to think that they're pretty good at this.
Yeah.
But let's be honest. I mean, hindsight's 20/20, I wasn't so good at it. So when we were enjoying the motion of the ocean, if you know what I'm saying.
Right, yeah.
I noticed, because I'm kind of aware, I'm going, woo, look what I'm doing, right? I noticed that her toes would curl up, and I thought, hey, I'm on to something here. This is
right. Her toes were curling.
This is good. And then she told me that she still had her stockings on. So it was. Are you kidding me with the stockings? Why did anybody? Isn't there a flap? I mean, come on.
Listen to this
with Cliff and Sharon. For more, like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter.
Okay, I think I'm in a parental gray area. I'm not sure. I'm going to have to ask for some help from Siri, but check this out. My 14-year-old daughter, well, almost 14-year-old, for the sake of argument, I have to call her 14. We've made that agreement. She's 14. Dad, I'm 14. Yes, you're 14 in 2 weeks. I get it. Okay. But in our conversation, she actually called me a cool parent.
Like a cool parent or the cool parent?
I'm not sure if there was a "the" before it, but the term "cool parent" came out, and I'm wondering if that's a good thing or not.
That is a good thing, isn't it?
I don't know.
Why wouldn't you want to be a cool parent?
Is it teenage guys for meaning I'm not cool? I mean, I'm really questioning everything right
now. Did she seem like she was being sarcastic?
A little bit.
Oh.
A little bit.
Oh, but you were on the radio. Of course you're cool. Right?
Thank you, Sharon. You see, I knew I could turn to you and get the answer that I really wanted to continue to support my immense ego. Thank you very much.
Oh, my God. But this is a good question for Siri. So go ask Siri what she thinks. Is it? Right. I mean, if you're still a bit unsure.
I am. Siri. My daughter told me that I'm the cool parent, and what exactly does that mean?
Ha 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 ha. Oh snap, you are screwed. Being the cool parent means that you are a weak little pansy and you are getting walked on all over the place by your kids, and they are trying to trick you into thinking that is not a bad thing by giving you a cool label and acting like you are their favorite parent.
Okay.
Being a parent is like being a prison guard.
True.
You never want the inmates thinking that you are cool. You want them to have a healthy fear of you. My advice is to shank one of them and show the other kids who's boss.
I am
totally kidding right now.
Don't stab
kids. But seriously, if you are too cool as a parent, you will end up on an episode of Teen Mom.
Or Teen Dad, as the case may be. Wow.
Oh, my
I don't think I'd shank one of them, but that is interesting. That's an interesting point of view, isn't it?
Yes. Fear better than love.
Listen to this with Cliff and Sharon.
This is not going to be easy for you to hear, but it needs to be said.
When it came to dating, did you have a deal breaker that's something that a guy typically did that if this happens again, this guy's gone instantly, I'm not wasting any of my time. Is there a deal breaker for you?
I don't know that there was a specific deal breaker. I mean, I usually knew, because you know I met my husband online, and so when I would first meet somebody for coffee, I would know within 30 seconds pretty much whether it was something I wanted, whether I wanted to meet them again, whether there was, I just kind of knew.
Is that a physical thing or just kind of an emotional thing?
Well, a couple of them were physical things. I remember meeting one guy for coffee and he had these like short shorts on and like a wife beater. And I just thought, hell no. Like, so that was like a kind of physical physical presentation thing. But no, it's usually, I mean, I wanted to be with somebody who was ambitious and entrepreneurial and you know, kind of that way, a little bit creative and, you know.
You can get that pretty quickly, right? Because here's a sentence you never thought you'd say to Harvard and Cosmo got together and did a survey and came up with the 7 biggest deal breakers across all of their studies. These are the 7 deal breakers for people that are dating.
And the first one, how bad are we as a society? The first thing is being unattractive, which obviously is totally subjective and not very specific at all. And I guess that's what happens when you combine too many studies, right?
Well, and that's what happens when you swipe right and you meant to swipe left.
Uh-huh.
Right.
What about this one? Living an unhealthy lifestyle like smoking or drinking too much.
Yeah. And remember, a 7-course meal is not pizza and a 6-pack.
Having undesirable personality traits like being lazy or having a bad sense of humor was another one.
Or biting your own toenails.
That's not a skill you want to be showing off. Having different religious beliefs.
Like you believe and support Jehovah's Witness, but think that it's probably a good idea to save money. We should get them to deliver the mail since they're going door-to-door anyway.
Why not, right?
Huh?
Not being the same social status.
You start dating Bruce and end up with Kate.
Ooh, okay, good mind's in a dark and twisty place this morning. Having different attitudes towards having kids was another deal breaker.
like joking about dating your daughter, Donald.
Would be a deal breaker for sure. And then the other big deal breaker was having different relationship goals.
Yeah, like a woman's goal is to connect emotionally, to grow together, to learn about each other, get deep. A man wants sex.
That's it, right there. My God, you're in fine form, sir.
Thank you.
Listen.
Listen.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon.
Wine. I can't believe, as a wine lover, both of us, that personally, I've never heard the term wine o'clock before, but I'm stealing
it. Are you serious?
Never heard the term
before. Oh, my God. Yeah, haven't you heard me say it? Obviously not.
No, cocktail hour, it's happy hour, but I've never heard wine o'clock.
Oh, my God. You've heard beer 30.
Beer 30, I've heard that before, yeah.
I say wine o'clock all the time.
I will pay more attention next time when you speak.
Usually your ears prick up whenever the word wine is bandied around. I'm surprised you haven't heard me say that. Well, Oxford actually added the term wine o'clock to the dictionary last year. The official definition is, quote, the approximate time of day to start drinking wine.
Well, what time is that exactly?
Well, it's funny you should ask, Cliff, because a new study just figured out what that time actually is. A company analyzed 2 million users who track their wine drinking on an app and figured out when most people start drinking, and the answer is not what we expected, that's for sure. Way later, actually, than what we expected. 6:30.
6:30?
And we're not talking in the morning. 6:30 in the evening. 6:30 p.m. is when most people start wine o'clock.
Okay.
They also found the majority of wine drinking goes on between 4:45 and 9 p.m. with the peak between 6 and 6:45.
I still can't believe that somebody has the wherewithal to pour open a beautiful glass of Cabernet or Chardonnay, whatever you're into, take a drink, and then go, oh, I need to open my app to log when I'm drinking this.
I know.
Isn't that the first thing that comes to your mind when you're having a nice glass of wine?
I'm not even thinking about that. Let me assure you, my wine o'clock starts a lot earlier than 6:30. But although there is the other wine o'clock. The WHINE, wine o'clock, which usually begins right after work starts, and most particularly on a Monday, right?
Yeah. My wife will recognize that in me most days.
Listen to this.
With Cliff and Sharon. Subscribe to the podcast on Audioboom, Stitcher, SoundCloud, Pocket Cast, and iTunes. This has been a Bytes.com production.